we hungry? What are we not hungry? What do we need? What do we don't need? And we lose that over time. And that's all due to behavior. And that's habits, that's behavior, that's influences, it's societal influences, it's your family influences, it's hormones, it's emotions. And we start to train ourselves to eat certain things at certain times and certain amounts based on behaviors and psychology. And that's really what takes over. It's not the physical need. It's really the psychological side of it all. And whether you're under-consuming or over-consuming, sometimes it's people giving up, honestly, and saying, you know what, I can't figure it out. I'm just going to listen to, quote unquote, listen to my body, where they're really just listening to their mind.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and entrepologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Well, it was a pleasure to finally have the chance to sit down with my guest today, Amanda Foti. Amanda is a registered dietitian from New York with a master's degree in dietetics and nutrition. But most excitedly for me, she's also an entrepreneur who got the startup itch. It was a really interesting conversation because we were able to contextualize nutrition and nutritional optimization uniquely for the world of entrepreneurs. We got into the types of foods that Amanda recommends for her clients in terms of maximizing energy and shifting her habits. And we also had a really fascinating conversation related to the psychology of eating. Why is it that we pick the foods that we do, and what are the influences on the types of foods that we naturally select for our bodies? Fueling ourselves as entrepreneurs requires that we have an informed mindset when it comes to picking appropriate food choices. And for us as entrepreneurs, when we're mission-minded, often our journey as nutritionists or naturopathic doctors or chiropractors can help to inform the types of businesses that we want to become involved in. This conversation with Amanda enabled us to interweave ourselves through both of these concepts. It was a fascinating story with some really practical knowledge and tidbits around how we can eat better as mission-minded entrepreneurs. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Amanda Foti. Amanda Foti, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Well, I'm excited that we're finally sitting down to do this. I feel like this podcast has been rescheduled and moved around and put on hold and reconfigured so many different times, but good things are always worth waiting for. Amanda, can you just take us through your personal story? Tell us the journey that got us to where you are right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me. I totally agree. Good things sometimes take time. When I had started my career, in undergrad, typically, you know, being forced to figure out exactly what you want to do for the rest of your life when you're almost a teenager is always fun. But like many of us, I really had no clue. I was very into sports at the time. And so I was fortunate enough to have an older sister that I was close with, and she happened to be studying nutrition at this cool college. So I was like, you know what? That's cool. Good enough for me. I'm going to go there. I'm going to study what she studies. And it really was the starting of a career in nutrition and eventually getting into more of the entrepreneurial side, which has just really been where I've at for the last 5 years or so. So my personal story, I have always been passionate about health. I feel like I've always been a little bit of an old soul, my parents have always called me, and really just looking to always get that next learning opportunity, that next challenge. And I've always been passionate about spending my time and focusing my time on something that actually matters, something that really makes a difference that I can look back and say, wow, you know, that was really cool. That's what I've done. And that's kind of been my North Star for a lot of the decisions and paths that I've taken. But I went to school, you know, I went to college in upstate New York, and I applied to be in a really competitive internship down in New York City, which was like the dream, you know, being from upstate New York. If you could make it in New York City, that was like the coolest thing ever. So I had moved down there. I got into a great internship. I did my master's program at NYU and really focused my career on clinical nutrition. So I became a registered dietitian, specializing in more of the clinical side of things, but had always had an interest and a passion for the psychology and the behavior behind nutrition. Certainly in this country, we deal with a lot of health issues from, you know, obesity, but also malnutrition, eating disorders, diabetes, you know, the list goes on and on from what nutrition can really impact. So it was always something that really interests me. So I ended up leaving kind of the clinical world, the hospital settings, you know, ICU, med-surg type of stuff, and going more into a direction of helping early stage companies and focusing on the behavior change impact that dietitians could have. So I had graduated grad school. There was a moment in my life that I almost joined the Navy actually after grad school. That was short-lived when I got an offer from a startup company in New York City, Manhattan. And these guys, I had met them. They had a really interesting idea. Their energy was contagious. And that's where I always say I started to fall in love with the startup world and entrepreneurship is this first job that I had gotten. So I was there for a while. We did a great job building a program that was evidence-based and research-based, direct-to-consumer weight loss and behavior change programs, built a technology backend. So really got the lay of the land as far as understanding what it takes and what goes into really the building blocks behind starting a company. I mean, my first day was literally our first day with physical location. We were plugging in phones, we were setting up computers, you know, so that was really exciting to be a part of. And then fast forward a few years, I ended up launching a small business on the side of my own, which is called Eat Fit Live. It's a nutrition counseling practice that's all done online, evidence-based and meant to be really affordable in a very convenient way. And along the line, I'm sure we'll get into this, I needed a technology system, which led me to my next role as director of growth for a company called Healthy. And Healthy is a technology platform for dietitians, nutritionists, health coaches to really give them the tools that they need to run and grow their private practice. So I felt like I was really positioned well to help this company out, and they were early stages and they were doing amazing, amazing things. So I ended up joining their team. I think I was employee number two, so constant theme there. And over the last 3 years or so, I've been helping them grow and really get into the market from helping them develop the product on a technology front to strategic partnerships to selling to large corporate enterprise clients to managing and training a team on how to really express the value of what it is that they offer. So that's kind of where I'm at today, working with the Healthy team, but continue to grow my own business on the side at the same time.
You are a busy woman.
Yes, busy is good. I like being busy.
So we have so many places we can go with this, but the first one question I want to ask you is, how do you actually stay healthy immersed in the startup world? Because that is, I've hung out in that space as well, and I'm actually always awestruck by the lack of health that exists for most people there. So on the opposite side, someone who's so well equipped to stay healthy, what kind of things are absolute musts for you so you can operate with the intensity that goes along with that space?
Yeah, you know, this is such a good question because I think so many people really struggle with this where it becomes a choice either or. You know, it's either you're really dedicated to your health and you have this time and flexibility, or, you know, time is not a luxury so that you start to make sacrifices. And working out and staying healthy and preparing your nutrition is typically, unfortunately, one of the first things to go. But to me, it's really a non-negotiable, and you fit it into your lifestyle just as if it's a doctor's appointment, you know, that you have to make for your health. Once you start to really value, I think, the power of nutrition and exercise, it just starts to become something that you need to get done. It's just another thing on your to-do list. It's something that helps me balance a lot of the stress and the craziness, and I'll notice it. I mean, physically, if I do not work out, if a week's just so busy, I will feel it. I will be more tired. I will be groggy. I will not be as sharp. So over time, I've really found that, you know what, I've got to find a way to incorporate this in. So number one is just knowing if you value it, you're going to prioritize it. It's just one of those things. So working out for me, staying active, constantly moving my body is number one. So in the beginning of the week, I just look ahead and I plan it in. I figure out, okay, is it morning that's going to be a little bit more flexible for me? Is it night? There's definitely times where I'm literally at the gym at 9 o'clock at night, and that's okay. Even if it's a 20-minute walk on the treadmill with some ab workout, like that's just, it's fine. But just trying to work it in where I can, but planning is a huge part of that. I live and die by my calendar, and I literally put in, you know, 45 minutes for the gym. And then nutrition's a big one too. So I do my best to try to get at least a bunch of lunches meal prepped in the beginning of the week. And then dinners are super easy, super, super easy. I mean, 20 minutes or less, I'm able to get some lean protein, some vegetables. My husband's amazing. He's very healthy as well. So depending on, you know, who's busier, one will kind of take turns cooking and preparing some stuff. But then you got to enjoy yourself too. So I definitely have some wine come Friday night. And, you know, this Saturday we're going into the city for a fun party and dinner. So you got to balance in the good stuff too, which I do believe is part of health. But number one is just valuing it. And number two is just planning it, you know, getting it on your calendar and just staying committed to it. And it's an absolute must. If I don't do it, I know I'm going to be hurting.
Well, it's, yeah, I agree with you. It's just a matter of priority. And I'll have people all the time who come in that I don't have time for that. And I'm like, it just isn't high enough on the priority list. And you're right. Once you feel the benefit of a workout every single day or four times a week, when you're trying to do effective things in the world, you don't want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the feeling is totally addictive. You mentioned something at the beginning with respect to your journey, which I'm actually just really interested in exploring and unpacking a little bit. And that was, you said you developed this real keen interest in the psychology of eating and really understanding that state. And I would love to talk about that a little bit, because I think that as we look around, I'll say North America collectively, there's a lot of disordered eating. There's overconsumption, there's underconsumption. There's just, it feels like there's just a huge amount of emotional manifestation that happens through what we eat. Do you have an idea or a theory as to where that comes from?
Yeah, good question. So this is something that I think as a dietitian, you know, in a weird way, kind of breaks your heart, you know, because eating is a very natural thing that we do, right? It literally keeps us alive. It keeps us nourished. It gives us energy, be healthy. It is a very basic need as a human being. And over the years, it's really just got complicated, from the food industry to different big food brands, to the marketing, to, you know, diet societies. It's really kind of crowded this space. And you can find an article or a quote or even research at this point to literally support anything. Whether it's, you know, get rid of carbs, get rid of fat, don't eat protein, eat animal protein, don't eat animal protein, you know, keto's the best thing ever, keto's the worst thing ever. There's so much conflicting information out there that I think, and I see this with my own clients, that we just get confused. And I think sometimes we just throw in the towel. You know, we're trying to figure out, well, what is normal, right? What are some basic things that we should do to be able to eat? Because as babies, you know, when we're first born, we have that natural ability to know, when are we hungry? When are we not hungry? What do we need? What do we don't need? And we lose that over time. And that's all due to behavior. And that's habits. That's behavior. That's influences, it's societal influences, it's your family influences, it's hormones, it's emotions, and we start to train ourselves to eat certain things at certain times and certain amounts based on behaviors and psychology. And that's really what takes over. It's not the physical need, it's really the psychological side of it all. And whether you're under consuming or over consuming, sometimes it's people giving up, honestly, and saying, you know what, I can't figure it out. I'm just going to listen to, quote unquote, listen to my body, where they're really just listening to their mind. One example of this is stress. So talking about, you know, working a lot and being really busy, you can go two ways with that one, right? You can get really structured and value it and do a great job, or you can let stress take over. And what helps combat stress is emotions and eating things like sugar and fat. Those literally release hormones that make you feel better in the moment. So a lot of this stuff has just been developed over time. One, people just have conflicting information out there, so it's really hard to figure out what exactly is right. And then it's also what we've been exposed to, our environment, our emotions, and that's really what drives our behaviors and our eating decisions over time.
Yeah. And as you were talking about that, I was thinking about the influences that we have on us and the messaging. And I mean, I grew up in an era where they're like, oh, well, all eating disorders are caused by 17 magazine and models. And like, we heard all of these things. And as you were talking, I was thinking about different cultures around the world where we don't necessarily see these epidemics. And I feel like in North America, one of the things we don't have is we don't have cultural eating infused. Our cultural influences are commercial as opposed to based on heritage. And I feel like you go to Paris and there is a strong heritage of how people eat, or you go to Spain, there's a strong heritage. Or like, I feel like everywhere else in the world has got these culinary heritages that we lack in North America. And it's almost like it's been filled by companies and consumerism, which is never a really great combination when people are confused about their emotions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And then you add on, you know, the marketing piece of it is you have some brilliant people getting paid lots of money to figure out how to determine behaviors and eating behaviors, you know, so it's hard. It's hard to, you know, it's like the Steve Jobs of technology is behind these big food companies telling us to eat something.
Absolutely. It's almost frightening. Mm-hmm. Amanda, tell us a little bit about Healthy as a platform, as an app. What is it offering practitioners and in turn helping with for consumers?
Yes, I would love to dive into this. So this was a complete game changer in my own small business. When you first start a company or a small business or practice, you know, specific to me, you think, you know, you're on top of the world, right? Like there's something inside of you that just tells you start this company, right? And you think, you know what, I'm going to do it. I have this passion, I have this energy, I'll be able to figure it out. And then you start to get in, you know, maybe 2 months, 3 months, you know, and then you start to get bogged down by a lot of the little details. Wasn't the reason you got into the business, but it's absolutely critical to figure out those small organizational logistic type of things. And this was a big wake up call for me. You know, I was full of passion. I was full of work ethic. I was going to do whatever I possibly had to do. But then I kind of got you know, a little short-sighted on the technology front. So when I had first started my private practice, it was all one-to-one counseling, working with primarily women, men too, but primarily women that needed to almost recraft a lifestyle for themselves. And I wanted to do this in a virtual way because let's face it, we're all crazy busy. You know, sometimes we don't have the time or even have the means to physically go to a doctor's appointment or a dietitian or, you know, something in person. So I really liked this whole idea of the telehealth side of it. So I started my practice and I had probably like 5 or 6 or maybe even more software systems in place to help me manage literally 3 clients. And so it was really lopsided, and I was spending most of my time figuring out the logistics of the business, which is no fun. And so finally, I had a colleague of mine introduce me to this new company called Healthy. And they had just started, this was about 3 years ago, they had just started developing a software system specifically for health and wellness and nutrition professionals in the private practice space. So what Healthy is an all-in-one platform that combines all of those four or five, six platforms that I was using into one place. So they have the billing, they have the charting, they have all document sharing and all of the telehealth in there. So they have the virtual aspect, they had a cool app that my clients could download. So the day-to-day management for the practitioner and the client engagement in a secure way for the client sharing as well. So they really just kind of nailed it. This market had absolutely nothing, no technology that was specific to nutrition and health and wellness. And so 3 years ago, they developed this great app. So it's an app, it's an online platform for practitioners to use as a day-to-day management tool, but also a client engagement tool in a secure and safe way.
Amazing. And how has it influenced your practice?
Oh, it was an absolute game changer. I mean, I was on the verge of saying, you know what? I don't have what it takes. This is too much. So they just took all of the work out of it for that day-to-day management type of stuff and really allows you to focus your time, because time is, you know, very, very valuable, as you know. Where you focus your time, especially early on in the business, matters. You know, it can really be make or break for a lot of these small business owners. So getting the right tools, offloading some of that stuff that you might not be so good at and focusing your time on the things that you are good at is an absolute game changer. You know, so I went from trying to figure out how to save charting notes to sending encrypted emails that I knew nothing about to trying to remember when everyone was being charged to manually sending out appointment notifications so people would actually show up for the appointments to not literally lifting a finger for any of that stuff and really focusing on like, okay, well, what other things can I do for marketing and what other programs can I come up with and what other content can I come up with? You know, the stuff that really starts to move the needle on growing a practice. So it was a huge game changer on my end. And then the other benefit that it wasn't the motivation that I ended up going with Healthy, but the client engagement piece serves as a differentiator for my practice versus even other dietitians in the area. You know, a lot of my clients that work with me will give me the feedback of, wow, you know, I've never worked with a dietitian that has an app that I can download. Like, this is awesome. I can stay connected with you. I can track my food. I can track my workouts. You're right there giving me feedback. We do the video chat right through there, and it's all HIPAA compliant and secure. So the client engagement piece of it is now something that I start to sell as a value add to some of the programs and the packages that I offer. It's not just me. I mean, over the last 3 years, I've seen thousands of providers all over the world, primarily US and Canada, and Australia and UK, really start to use Healthy and take it from something that they're nervous about running to something that just they have full confidence with, and they start to work with more and more clients.
Well, I love what you're saying, because, you know, generally we've got healthcare practitioners in our audience, but we have entrepreneurs in general. And I find one of the messages I hear over and over again from them is, I'm nervous about integrating technology into my business, or technology's not my thing. And so they continue in this like very analog way to deliver whatever service they happen to be delivering. But the challenge for me as someone who loves to coach people in terms of building out their businesses, as much as I love talking about health, is that that mindset is just, it's about them as the service provider and not about their customer. And I love that you talked about that, and in that you leverage this platform so that it's something that assists in the engagement of your clients, because it's getting beyond your needs in terms of the delivery of your service and your business, which I think is sort of it doesn't matter whether you're in healthcare or not. It's so critical. And technology is something that I think can revolutionize small businesses at this point. We historically had to do everything, and we can really scale by pulling technology into our purview as business owners. So I love that you're doing that, because it enables you to actually impact more people.
Oh, absolutely. And we live in a world where new technology is literally popping up every single day. So it's, you know, use it, leverage it as a benefit rather than being nervous and scared about it. And also find some people that have done it. You know, you don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel. Get a mentor, you know, talk to some of your colleagues, see what they're using. Most of the systems that I use are just what I know other dietitians use, and it works, you know, so you don't have to you know, reinvent the wheel with this stuff either.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. Were you always an entrepreneur, or did you approach this from a reluctant place, or did you realize you had this in you? How did that side of your identity come to be?
Good question. You know, I'd love to, I think, ask my parents that question, because I've always been, as they describe, a very free spirit. And I've always been very confident, even at a young age, you know, maybe minus a couple years in our teenage time. But I think that's normal. You know, I think so. And I'm even thinking back where even in high school, I mean, I was signing up for like Mary Kay and like trying to make money selling makeup to my friends. You know, so that was always something. I didn't do very well, by the way, but I think that's where it started. And I kind of got some type of bug when I first started doing that. And I've always worked, you know, even like waitressing. I waitressed all through high school and college, and you really got to work for that, right? Because that's your tips right there. You know, so I think I've always had that element of wanting to do something that's challenging and fun and really, you know, creates a sense of independence. So I think it's always been there, but over the last, I would say, 5 years or so, you know, and I think a combination of being in New York, where just, I mean, the energy here, especially coming from where I come from, it's just, it's so contagious. It really makes you feel like you can do absolutely anything. So I think it's always been there. But over the last 5 years, I think it's surfaced more and more.
Well, you know, as you're talking about New York energy, I'm like, there's a momentum to that city. Like, there's just a pulse and it doesn't stop. And if you tap into it, like, it's incredibly powerful. You know, this episode is airing right at the beginning of 2019. And I think one of the things that's really exciting is if we, you know, we segue from, you know you're an entrepreneur, you're in the pulse of New York, and we're really setting the stage for a successful year in 2019. As a dietitian, as an entrepreneur, are there some key nutritional habits, some foundational pieces that you want to recommend that people have in place? Because everyone listening is super busy and really engaged and on a mission that they can have in place to get the year off to a solid start. Are there some things you recommend?
Oh, absolutely. You know, January 1st or beginning of January or Mondays, you know, or any beginning of a time frame is a really popular time, of course, to refocus on your goals. And a lot of times, you know, that includes weight loss or nutrition. And I think it really boils down to just wanting to feel better, you know, whether that's resolutions towards your career or relationships or being more organized or, of course, your health and weight loss and nutrition. I think it just boils down to wanting to feel better. One of the things that I talk to all of my clients about is kind of on the behavioral side, but really trying to set your intentions and understanding your motivation. Because if you don't have those two things, then any diet, any plan, any attempt of trying to feel better physically and for your health is just not going to go well. The intentions and the motivation, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be times where you're not motivated, but that's something that you can always go back to and remember why it is that you're doing that. The intentions piece of it, short, simple, realistic. At the beginning of every week, so maybe Sunday night or Monday morning, write down two or three things. And it can be super simple. It can be, you know what, I'm going to go to the gym on Tuesday and Thursday nights, I'm going to get a workout in. And that's it. But there's something so powerful about writing down and having that dedicated time to really commit to something, even as small as it may be, but you're committing to it versus setting these vague goals of, oh, I'm going to get healthy and lose weight this year. Now, what does that mean? You know, how do you actually put an action plan behind that and accomplish it? So setting the really small, specific, I like weekly. There's a lot of evidence behind setting those small, again, realistic, right? So if you hate running, don't set a goal to run 10 miles in 1 week. It's just not going to happen. So being realistic about exactly what it is that you're setting yourself up for success. And the second piece of advice, this is going to sound so basic, and probably not something that you need an expert to tell you to do, but it's something that works every time, is eating more fruits and vegetables. Even if you just do that, don't change anything else in your diet, but go through the day and commit to eating two pieces of fruit or two servings of vegetables. Those two things, what we've found, it starts to become a domino effect of other healthy choices, and starts to displace some of those other things. And I'll give you an example of that. So mid-afternoon, maybe you're in the office, you get that like 2:30, 3 o'clock slump, and you typically go to, maybe you have a snack area in your office and there's chips and pretzels and cookies and maybe some other stuff. But if you made that commitment of like, okay, how many pieces of fruit did I have? Oh man, I haven't eaten any fruit today. Well, there's an apple here, so let me just get that. Immediately, it's going to start to displace some of those other choices. So focus on what you're adding to your diet versus taking away. Having that positive approach versus, oh, now I can't have a bagel this morning. That's not going to set you up for success. Think about what are you adding, being positive about it, and setting really small, specific, realistic goals every single week.
Yeah, I really like that. And as you mentioned that in terms of pick the apple, not the whatever thing someone brought in sitting at your snack mm-hmm. center, as I talk to my clients about this concept of stacking. And I find that when you restrict people and you say, listen, no gluten or no dairy or no sugar, it triggers this weird psychological obsession with whatever it is that you have suggested they remove. And so often what I will say to them is, okay, you can have as much sugar as you want, but it comes behind 15 servings of vegetables. And I mean, no one actually eats the 15 servings of vegetables. But the point here is that you realize you weren't hungry in the first place. You've satisfied whatever need it was to just chomp on something. You didn't have to contend with the psychology of deprivation. And so in that vein of realistic expectations, you know, I'm just picking up off of what you were talking about. You could look at how do you stack some of these things, right? So sure, you can have your glass of wine on Friday night every Friday in 2019 when you went to the gym at least 3 times that week. And if you didn't, then go work out Friday before you meet your friends. Like really simple things like that. Where you put your priorities first and then you get to end up with your indulgence. Because I think our society, we're so quick to jump to our indulgences at the expense of some of our priorities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of I wrote a blog post about this, and everything that I do, you know, is 100% backed by evidence and science, even the behavioral side. So it's not like what I've seen to work for me, you know, because everyone's so different, or what I've even seen to work for, you know, friends or whatever. It really is backed by science. And one of the things that I remember I learned early on that always stood with me was positive versus negative correlations. And I have a blog post about this, specifically about working out. Because if you hate going to the gym, but then you force yourself to the gym, like you're never, ever going to stick with that, right? So don't set those goals, you know? And I use the running example, and maybe I use myself because I hate running. I don't like to run. So I'm not going to set goals around running, because if you develop a negative association with being active or eating healthy, then you're not setting yourself up for success long-term. So I always tell my clients, whatever it is, be positive about it. You know, instead of having a bagel sandwich and you're eating an egg, you know, egg white wrap, whatever it is, say, wow, you know, I feel really good about choosing this healthier option versus, oh man, you know, I can't believe I can't have a bagel. That positive shift of mindset is so incredibly powerful to actually stick with it, because you want to do things that you feel good about. And that positive side of it is going to be so powerful long term.
100%. I had somebody who came in and they were managing really severe IBS. And I looked at them, I'm like, what took you so long to come in? You waited until this was just overflowing, until you did something about it. And they looked at me, they're like, I was just really scared you were going to take away my coffee. And I was like, this person suffered for 2 years because they thought, well, all naturopathic doctors will just take away my coffee. And they had such an association with that they were willing to suffer through. And you're absolutely right. Like in any of this, when someone decides and elects to make their health and their life better, I mean, any skilled practitioner is going to say, let's do that on your terms. And let's make this happen in such a way that it's sustainable for you. Because doing something very diligently to the generic book for 2 weeks and then not being able to stick with it is not nearly as impactful as doing small elements consistently over a period of time. So yeah, for sure, we've got to make sure that this is absolutely positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to that point, you know, you might as well not do it. And there's a lot of research behind maintaining a certain weight versus this yo-yo. And I think it just comes from a lot of these fat diets and yo-yo. So someone out there said, you know what, let's look at the health impact of that. And what they found is it's actually healthier long-term to maintain a slightly higher weight, but not change so much, than to yo-yo and fluctuate, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds back and forth for the rest of your life. So there's actually some real impact that's going on. If you're not ready to, you know, sustain some small changes over time, then wait till you're ready, or, you know, take it one step at a time, because you can actually be doing more damage with the yo-yoing effect long term.
For sure. And you touched on this before. When you connect the outcome to something bigger, then I had someone come in the other day. She's like, I'm going to exercise in 2019 because I want to deal with my arms. And I was like, what do you mean by deal with your arms? She's like, I just want to deal with my flabby arms. And I was like, let's make exercise about something bigger than and more important than your arms. And we got into like the things that feed her soul and where she donates her time and her capacity for contribution in a bigger way. And I was like, exercise will fuel that. And when she tapped into that bigger mission, she was like, oh, I'm totally into this. Like, I could do this 4 times a week. Like, this is going to be what carries me. And so, you know, if you're looking at a health habit and you're like, oh, I'm only going to change this because my doctor told me to, or I want to lose 5 pounds, or I want to, those things feel important, but they're never really that sufficiently compelling physiologically. So if you need to like tap into something bigger than the arms or your waistline or the superficial pieces, because it will fuel you in an entirely different way. Amanda, one thing I want to know from you. So you're talking about your evidence-based background with respect to eating, and you're quite right. We've got a plethora of evidence that could support any number of ways of eating. How do you eat? Is there a diet that you subscribe to, and what fueled that decision for yourself?
Yeah, this is a great question. So there's not like fad diet or like paleo or even vegetarian thing that I follow. But one thing really maintains or sustains me long term is focusing on whole natural sources of food. So as close to how it exists in nature as possible, that's what I try to make my decisions on. So a lot of like my lunches, I try to focus on like, okay, well, how does food exist in nature, right? You have fruits, you have vegetables, you have grains, you have seeds, you have nuts. So I try to incorporate as much of that in as possible. And then I figure out a balance. And balance for everyone is different. And that's one of the things I do with all my clients is defining your balance. It could mean, you know, one glass of wine on a Friday. It could mean, you know, 3 drinks while you're out with your friends on Saturday night, you know, whatever that means, because the food and the nutrition is, yes, physically good for you, but you also have to, I like how you just termed it, feed your soul too. And that could mean, you know, having a glass of champagne or going out for a fun dinner with your husband or boyfriend and enjoying yourself and not having to worry about it, but knowing what that balance is. So for me, I would say it's like this 80-20 type of balance where 80% of the time I try to have a nice plan ahead, typically in the beginning of the week. Lunches are easy for me to plan ahead of time. So I literally, quinoa bowls are my favorite go-to one because they're easy. So the theme of my diet, I think, is easy. The easier, the better. And just bulk cooking a bunch of quinoa and vegetables and, you know, throw something in there for flavor, like olives or feta cheese or something on top. But a lot of my food choices, you know, look at, okay, what are my options? Even if I'm out on the go, especially in New York, you can get absolutely anything, which I love this place for that reason. But really goes back to the basics of like, what is the whole natural source of what it is that I'm eating, and try to avoid a lot of the processed foods. And then 20% of the time enjoying myself. You know, I come from a big Italian family, and food and wine is one of the biggest staples, you know, that we like to enjoy for lots of it for a long amount of time. So I absolutely indulge about 20% of the time, and then 80% just eating as healthy as possible. And then I do some, you know, some timing around workouts too. So protein is huge. Obviously limiting alcohol around the days that you're getting your heavier workouts in. So some of the food timing on more of the sport nutrition side comes into play as well.
Great advice. And I'm always so interested in how my guests do it themselves, right? Because we can all speak to it in theory, but it's really nice to know what happens in the real world behind the scenes. Amanda, how would you define health?
You know, I think the traditional definition of that is like the absence of illness or the absence of disease or something. I remember seeing that or learning that maybe in grad school at some point. And I remember being so disappointed by that. It's like, oh, well, that's not like something to aspire to. Like, what are your goals? I want to be absent of disease. Like, no, right? Like, that's just too boring for me. I do think that's part of it. You know, being able to be free, I think, would be another way to describe it. Really free of anything that could physically limit your ability to enjoy and live life. So that is absolutely something that I incorporate into all of my conversations with my clients, particularly the ones that are still healthy. Like, that is a gift, right? Like, not everyone can say that they are physically healthy and not limited by any physical illness that's happening to them. Like, that is awesome. Hang on to that and preserve that. But I think the other side, which I think gets a little bit less attention, is the mental side of it. You know, like, our mental health is just as important as our physical health, and being able to be comfortable in your own skin, be confident, and not hold back. A lot of things I talk about with my clients, like family vacations or going to the beach, is a big one. And just not mentally being able to let go and be free and enjoy that moment because you're physically, mentally worried about how you feel or how your bathing suit fits or, you know, stuff like that. Or you feel guilty because you have the chips with your sandwich, you know, at lunch. You know, those are types of things that absolutely impact our health. So in addition to being, you know, free from some of the physical and more obvious illness type of stuff, it's also living in a balance that you are comfortable and confident in your own skin and able to really live life to the fullest.
Our body is a series of interconnected systems. What is happening in one system puts pressure on another. We understand this intuitively, and yet the most powerful medical system in the world, Western medicine, continues to evaluate our health in individualized silos. We have assessments related to cardiovascular health, oncology, respirology, dermatology. We have individual silos of expertise. When we assess the body from a functional perspective in our practice, we want to understand not whether you are necessarily fine in all of these different systems, but whether or not they are functioning in an integrative manner in a way that moves you closer to optimal health. While there are lots of functional tests that we can do to be able to assess that, technology is enabling us to start to look at this thing on the basis of artificial intelligence through the aggregation of data. We do this in our practice using a tool called Living Matrix, and I want to make this assessment available to you. If you go to our new website, anthropologyperformancelabs.com, on the front page, you will see an opportunity for you to opt in into your personalized functional medicine quiz. Completing this questionnaire will take approximately 40 minutes of your time, and when you're finished, we're going to prompt you to have an opportunity to sit down from someone on our medical team to review your individualized results. We are all on big missions. We are all trying to change the world. It's no longer sufficient for our health to simply be fine. For us to achieve what we want to do as badass women with a vision for how we can help the world, we need to move our health to a place of optimal. And I invite all of you the opportunity to see how close to that line you really are. Go to anthropologyperformancelabs.com and do your quiz today.
I think this is a really perfect place to transition to the second part of the interview. And I call these our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them with respect to our health as well and how we live. And we touched on this a little bit beforehand in terms of really outlining your goals and creating realistic goals. And I think our actions obviously dictate the outcome of those goals. So if you'll indulge me, I've got 6 rapid fire questions for you. That'll sure. Give everyone listening some insight in terms of how Amanda Foti lives her life behind the scenes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share?
I do. So I am a workout in the evening type of person. So I have set myself up for success because especially during these darker months in December, January, and February, when you get off of the train or out of the car, wherever, when you go home, sometimes it's really hard to get back out there. So my routine is in the morning, I drop off my gym bag at the gym. And when I get home from I take the train into the city. So when I get off the train, first stop is right into the gym, getting a great workout in, kind of mentally just decompressing from the day. It's my me time. I can really do whatever I want. It can be short. It can be long as I'm there doing something. My husband typically joins me, which is always fun too. So we get to work out together or not, but just physically be at the gym, and then we walk home together, cook dinner, and we typically watch Shark Tank right after dinner.
And that's as entrepreneurs our go-to. Do.
Right, exactly. And then we debate over, you know, who did well and who didn't and who's going to be successful. So that's typically, I would say, 4 nights out of the week, that is what it looks like.
I really love the idea that you drop your bag off at the gym. It's almost like you need to put your house keys in the bag that you drop off at the gym, so it forces you to walk in the door. It's fantastic.
Ooh, that's a good one. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
Nonfiction. I've never been a fiction reader, even in high school and through school and college. I'm nonfiction. If I can read something about life and what's actually happening and learn from other people's experiences, that is me.
Yeah, it's amazing how frequently my guests have that as their answer and experience. What is the one thing that you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Oh, that is a good question. So much is popping in my head right now. The first thing that popped in my head was hydration. I mean, water. Water all day long, as much as I can drink it. And my workouts, I think. I grew up an athlete. I was always in sports. So it was just always something that was a part of me and something that, as I mentioned earlier, just physically I can tell such a difference. And probably my mood is very different if I don't work out. So I'd say water all day long, every day, and being active during the week.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, this is a good question. These are good questions. What is something bad? I mean, everything, but
I love it.
I got two things pop into my mind. One, I have this love for the military and veterans, and I don't exactly know where it came from or how it started, but I did end up doing my clinicals in hospital in the Bronx, which really opened me up to an incredible experience. And I almost joined the Navy as a dietitian after grad school. And I think there's something behind the discipline or the culture that just really inspires me. So I listen to Jocko Wilkins is another podcaster.
Yeah,
he's written a couple books, Extreme Ownership. So I'm really obsessed. I do a lot of reading and listening to military based discipline and training. And I listen to some really hardcore heavy music when I'm working out.
Amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
Family, everything. If I'm not working, I'm finding out a way to spend time with. I have 3 beautiful nieces. I'm really close with my siblings. My parents are amazing. And then my in-laws, I'm really close with my brother and 2 brother-in-laws and their significant others and my in-laws, my parents. So really, really family focused. If I'm not working or working out or focus on things that I have to do for me, it's 100% spend with family.
Fantastic. And finally, Amanda, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Another really good question. I think a little bit of both. I think you don't have to be born with it. I think you can get a taste for it and just get bit by the bug, as I say. But I think those that are born with it, there's just no escaping it. At some point, it's going to come out. You're going to have to listen to it and just run with it. And it's one of the greatest things in the world.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that piece. Amanda, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Anthropology Podcast. When people want to follow up with you, where can we send them?
Good question. So I have a couple things going on. One, my website is a great place to start. So it's the name of my practice is eatfitlive.com. You can find me there. That's more for clients. I do have some stuff coming out for dietitians and healthcare practitioners that are in small business. So stay tuned for that. And Instagram is probably my most popular social media. So that is at @rd_eats or @eatfitlive_rd. So that's where you can find me.
I love it. We can hear New York in the background.
So I was wondering if you could hear that. Yes, we are. I am currently on 8th Ave, right in Midtown. So there is no shortage of noise around here.
It's okay. It is part of the authentic listening experience. Amanda, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Megan. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.